Let us worship God. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us pray. Our Father, we come to Thee in time of need and in time of plenty, to thank Thee, to seek Thy help, and to rejoice that Thou art our God. Grant, O Lord, that this day and always we be ever mindful of how rich Thou art towards us. Teach us to count our blessings, to name them one by one, knowing how great is Thy continuing mercy, Thy providential care, and Thy gifts unto us. O Lord our God, fill us with a spirit of gratitude. In Christ's name, amen. Our scripture is Hebrews 7, 1 to 6. Hebrews 7, 1 to 6. Our subject, accreditation. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Hebrews begins very early by insisting on declaring Christ to be our great and eternal high priest. And this statement at once raised questions in the minds of all Hebrews within the church. What were Jesus' credentials for that office? We can understand their mindset if we think in terms of our times. Anyone claiming to be a valid healer, for example, or a valid scholar, will at once be asked to produce his credentials. Also, what is your membership in certain organizations, professional organizations? Now, it is unrealistic to assume that people were then no less suspicious about any unusual claims. The office of high priest was most powerful in Judea, and for any man to declare himself the valid office holder without the mandatory credentials was normally unthinkable. For Jesus to be declared high priest required thus the joint statement of an apostolic fellowship. As far as we know, no one in the entire history of Israel had ever dared claim they were the high priest if they were not of the house of Aaron. Well, first, the fellowship writing this letter, reminds the Hebrews that Melchizedek was a high priest, and that also at the same time he was king of Salem, later known as Jerusalem. He was a high priest, and nobody knew what his human credentials were. Then second, Abraham was blessed by this Melchizedek, which means that Melchizedek was the greater man before God than was Abraham, and Abraham recognized that. Third, this king priest Melchizedek was the king of righteousness, or the king of justice and king of peace. Fourth, we are told that Melchizedek was without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. In more modern speech, this could be rendered in these words: Melchizedek lacked any genealogy or hereditary right to his office. Neither did it begin at a particular time, nor did it end with his death. He was forever a priest. Now, the expression without father, without mother, without descent was not necessarily a complimentary one. A man converting to Judaism was for centuries, according to the rabbis, and at least until recently, if not currently among the Orthodox, a man without a father or a mother, because he had no prior heritage in Jerusalem or Judea. He was not, in other words, a Jew. So he was without any ancestry. Now the Hebrew reader faced a strange contradiction. To have no inherited right to the office made a man ineligible, or at the best, a questionable claimant. On the other hand, there was a strange witness of Genesis 14:18-24 and Psalm 110, both of which highly exalted Melchizedek. Various odd interpretations were used to get around Melchizedek. According to the rabbis, he was supposedly Shem under another name, and therefore Abraham was one of his great-grandchildren. But God set aside this priesthood, according to the rabbis, when he created Aaron. So this eliminated Melchizedek as a problem. Now, to link Jesus to Melchizedek was a startling and major interpretation, one looking forward rather than backward. The incontestable fact was that Abraham had paid a tithe, a tenth of the spoils, to Melchizedek. This meant that Abraham recognized Melchizedek and his priesthood as a valid one, coming from the covenant God. In Abraham's person, the Levitical priesthood acknowledged the priority of Melchizedek and of his office. Melchizedek received tithes, and he gave a blessing. He was thus superior to Abraham and to the Levitical priesthood. In these few verses, Hebrews undermines the Jewish view of the high priest from the words of the Old Testament. Moreover, the perspective was shifted from the past to the present and the future. And of course, the absurdity of saying Melchizedek was Shem was obvious to any but those rabbis who were determined to get rid of Melchizedek. After all, If you had a very important ancestor living a short distance away in Salem and you were wandering around the country, wouldn't you stop by to pay your respects to him? Wouldn't at this point he have acknowledged Melchizedek as a forebear? Of course, the whole interpretation is fanciful, an attempt to get around the fact that here is a superior priesthood and one the church recognized. In these few verses, Hebrews undermines the Jewish perspective. But implicit also is another important, very important consideration. How old the view is of Melchizedek as Shem, we cannot say. So many interpretations of Judaism were subjected to revisionism to blunt the force of the early church's use of the Hebrew scriptures. If you read carefully through Acts, for example, you find that again and again the apostolic appeal is to the Old Testament. All the doctrines of God, including the Trinity, were derived from the Old Testament. All the prophecies of Christ were derived from the Old Testament. So it meant, after the first century, the rabbis had to reinterpret the Old Testament to make it mean something that could not be usable to the Christians. Well, if the plain text stands, Melchizedek was a priest king of Salem, totally outside the Hebrew heritage. Had he been a relative, had he been Shem, major attention would have been called to that fact. But Melchizedek is a foreigner, an alien, and a Canaanite, a very remarkable fact. And it points to the universality of the faith. The covenant God does not limit himself to one people. In Amos 9, verse 7, God tells Israel that to him they are no different than the Ethiopians, whom if he chose, he could bring forward as his chosen people and replace Israel with them. Men are concerned with humanistic forms of accreditation, and within reason, these sometimes have their place. But this does not give them God's imprimatur. The old high priesthood was now forever dead. With Christ's crucifixion, there was no longer a possibility of atonement by the blood of animals. The old priesthood of Aaron, at its best, was never the king of justice nor of peace. Its functions ended with Christ's atonement. The new high priest, Jesus Christ, gives access to heaven, to the throne of grace, because he sits and reigns there. His accreditation is that as the eternal Son of God, he is the source of all authority and all power. He is the great prophet, the Son of God, and the King over all creation. The totality of his work and office includes the priesthood. Jesus Christ cannot be understood as other than priest, king, and prophet. As for accreditation, he is the source of all validity, all authority, all accreditation. His royal and prophetic office required that he be also our high priest. His central work for our redemption, atonement, for our salvation, required that he be our high priest also. But there's another important fact. We must remember that Hebrews tells us in verse 2 that he is the King of righteousness or justice, and also King of peace. That's an important statement. What it tells us is that without justice, there can be no peace. The nations now are working for world peace, and all their efforts are foolishness because they will not recognize the only source of justice, God and His Word. And when they seek to establish a justice on other grounds, they build on sand. Nothing more clearly reveals that than what we are doing today in Bosnia. We're going against everything that we have stood for in the past. We are overturning all our previously held standards. We are going in because we are determined to help the Muslims. And we are determined to help some who are viciously anti-Jewish because our international policy requires us to line up with former friends of Hitler. We're doing one thing after another in plain violation of what we previously held. Can we imagine that peace can come out of injustice? No. Only when we are ruled by justice and the King of all justice can we have the King of peace. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for this Thy word and for Thy grace unto us through Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, our Father, that we live, move, and have our being in Thee, that Thou art our habitat, and not the rulers of this world. We pray, our Father, for patience as we make our way through a trouble-filled and evil time. Strength to know and to trust in all things in Thee. Grant us this in Christ's name. Amen. Are there any questions now about our lesson? Yes.
Melchizedek was an actual person. What I'm trying to understand is verse 2, it says he had no beginning, or actually verse 3, had no beginning of days nor end of life.
Yes.
But like the Son of Man, he abides in priests perpetually. How would that relate to the fact he was an actual human being?
Yes. The point there is that his priesthood was without ancestry. In other words, he didn't get it from his father or from his mother. We inherit certain things. Some people inherit their office, but the reference is not to the person of Melchizedek, but to his office. He was not like the priesthood of Aaron by descent. You could not be a high priest in Israel unless your father was a priest and your mother was of the priestly line. So this is to say, his priesthood did not rest upon descent. It was totally from God. And that's why he was such a baffling figure to the Hebrews. How could they account for him? Because for them, priesthood rested on your father and mother, upon genealogy. and it began when you assumed the office, and it died when you died, if not for some other reason, incapacity, earlier. But this was a priesthood directly from God, so it had no beginning nor ending. Are there any other questions? This is why accreditation then and now was so important, and why the whole point of Hebrews here is to say your human forms of accreditation do not apply here. We're very much given to accreditation now. It's a sad fact, but there are hundreds upon hundreds of kinds of jobs that require accreditation. Well, we can see why perhaps a contractor should be able to pass a test that he knows something about construction and about earthquake proofing and that sort of thing. But what about gardeners, barbers, and so on? In fact, barbers, as we once knew them, are becoming a lost generation, because now the examinations require that the barber be good at hairdressing, like a beautician. So fewer and fewer men are, in California at any rate, becoming barbers. And so more and more men have their hair cut by women because of the license requirements. All kinds of things that you would think anybody could do with any common sense now require tests and accreditation. And it's because we've gone overboard on this. And this is not new. Over and over again in history, men have tried to control every area of life and work. In the latter part of the Middle Ages, the working men's guilds controlled every area of labor. They controlled it so much that they rendered themselves obsolete, and finally, the guilds died, because people could no longer use them. They were too restrictive. And in my lifetime, I've seen the AFL-CIO go from being the most powerful force in the country to being increasingly a minor force because of its overly rigid controls. So the whole point here is simply accreditation. They were no less given to it in those days than now, and therefore it was necessary to keep track of your ancestry if you were in the priesthood, to prove that your genealogy was the correct one. And here was Melchizedek without any accreditation, and this is why it is so important for Hebrews to take pains to deal with this issue, because none of the Hebrew believers, or most of them for that matter, would recognize the priesthood of Jesus until that question of accreditation was settled. So Hebrews is dealing with that and saying it wasn't by man, it was by God. After all, you've always believed that the Messiah is simply from God. No human agency accredits him. Well, so is the great high priest. Any other questions or comments? Well, yes.
So Melchizedek wasn't necessarily acknowledged by all the Hebrews or the people of that day, only by those who were given insight.
What was that? It was not acknowledged
by all the Hebrews or the people of that day. They did not recognize him as the high priest because he...
No, that was the point of this letter. Because they did not recognize him as the high priest, Well, he was the Messiah, but they didn't understand his plan, why after the resurrection he didn't establish his kingdom. And you remember in Acts 1, that was a top question in the minds of the disciples. Lord, wilt thou at this time establish the kingdom? So, the king was gone. What was he going to do? But there was a high priest in Jerusalem. And when you read Acts, you find that when Paul returned from his last journey, they told him to go to the temple for purification and to recognize the validity of Nol, because there was a great deal of hue and cry that he was so anti-temple and anti-priesthood. So he went and they arrested him. Well, the point of this book was to tell the Hebrew believers, the Gentiles, didn't need it. Jesus is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And why? He cannot be your Savior unless you see him as your high priest who made atonement for you. And that's the whole point of Hebrews. And when you recognize him as king and priest, then you have a program for taking over everything in Christ's name, to disciple all the nations. Are there any other questions or comments? Well, if not, let us conclude with prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for this thy word, and we thank thee that we have a great high priest, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, that he is the King of justice, and therefore the King of peace. Teach us day by day to be faithful to him, and to seek first his kingdom and his justice. And now go in peace, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Bless you and keep you, guide and protect you, this day and always. Amen.